Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I'm Amanda Poole Walsh, founder of Astrology Hub and your host for our flagship show. We explore the many ways astrology can support you in your relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Thanks for tuning in.
That's a spicy beat.
Isn't it spicy? That's for Joe. Joe did that. Were you dancing back there?
Yeah, I was dancing over here. It feels Venusian, and Venus is connecting the Bay Area where I sit and Maui where you sit right now.
So. Very nice. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome everybody. It's great to have you here. This is an episode of the Astrology Hub flagship show where we highlight lots of different astrologers, lots of different perspectives. We introduce you to different astrological techniques so that you can get introduced to the huge world of astrology. And today we're talking about something super fun with astrologer and astronomer Gemini Brett. And the topic is around astrolocality. And astrolocality is essentially this idea that there are personal power points on the planet for you. And astrology can show you what those are and where those are. And there's different places on the planet that highlight different aspects of you and pull forth different aspects of you. So going to those places or moving to those places can really shift your entire experience of life. So today we're going to talk about what astrolocality is, how it started. We are going to, Brett is going to tell us about the three different types of astrolocality, which include astrocartography, local space, and relocated charts. He is going to give examples of how, of like astrolocality in motion. And because I've moved so much and each move has indicated a very significant period of life, which I'm sure many of you can relate, he's going to use my chart for a lot of the examples, which is going to be really fun. And essentially the idea here is that on Earth, you have different energetic signatures and astrolocality is a tool to help you find those signatures. So Brett, is there anything you'd want to add to that?
That's a really beautiful intro and synopsis. My favorite thing about astrolocality is that in a sea full of weird shit and astrology in general, it's probably the weirdest. I mean, it's just striking, you know. Well, I'm gonna give you an example. I met Anna, my beloved, who's an A-team angel, of course, in Hawaii, in Maui, where I have like a what's called a node line on an astrocartography map. I'll talk more about what that is. And on the exact opposite side of the world, I have a similar node line in Romania, where she's from.
Oh, wow. And
there's things like, you know, these power places, it's not necessary that you relocate there, live there, or even visit there. Like I have a client in Norway who has a very strong kind of career line, creative career line in Hawaii. She's an artist and she's a very avant-garde artist and saying, hey, you should sell some stuff in Hawaii. And she's like a Nordic snow queen. You know, she doesn't want to move to Hawaii at all. But I said, you don't have to go there, like put your stuff there. And she's doing really well.
Wow. Right?
Just selling in galleries on the islands. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to dive into this in a lot of depth. And for any of you that want to keep going with it, we do have a 3-hour mastery class from Brett on the topic. It's at astrologyhub.com/locality. And that's available. Inner Circle members, you do get your discount on that. But I would check it out because we're going to talk about it a lot here today. And if you're like, oh my gosh, I need to learn more, we have that mastery class available for you. You can go check it out. All right. So let's start with the big question, Brett, which is what is astrolocality? And also, how did it start?
Well, let's go with how did it start first? You know, I mean, these days, because of airplanes in this dawning Aquarian age, right? Like the maps have really opened up for us. Like back in the day, there wasn't too much long distance travel. There were certainly pilgrimages, typically more dangerous than they are today. There was a huge maritime happening, right? But a lot of people would be born in a place and stay in that place until their end. Right. So some of these kind of spatial techniques that we now kind of group together in this term astrolocality or locational astrology in a sense, are kind of new. Some of them are as old as it gets. I'm talking like Stonehenge or the Great Pyramid of Giza. Simply in that those sites and so many of the sacred sites that the elders, tradition keepers have left for us around the world are aligned to like earthly phenomena, like the cardinal directions, or earth heaven phenomena, like equinoxes and solstices and cross quarter settings and risings of the sun, or the Pleiades in their day and age, things like this. So part of the astrolocality mix is a wonderful technique that I thought I had invented. I was actually teaching a workshop on it and somebody said, oh, it like local space. And I was like, what is that? And it turns out the great Michael Erlewine created this technique called local space, which is very different than astrocartography, a different technique that people are more familiar with. We'll speak about both of them some today. And I cover them both in that class, which is like a pretty solid survey and place to get you going class. It's not for the beginner, by the way, the class that y'all can access at astrologyhub.com/locality, I think it is. But it will bring you deep in a short amount of time into many of these techniques, and then how you can find tools online to explore your own astro maps for free, which is a wonderful thing that we have, again, thanks to this evolving technology of our age. So that is also a very important truth for astrolocality as it stands now. I mean, one of the things that we'll talk about is relocation charts. Simply the general idea that, well, where I sit in this moment, let me see, Virgo is rising. But were we in Hawaii, it's likely a Cancer rising chart right now, right? So that idea of taking a birth chart or any event chart and relocating it to a different place, the planets will be in the exact same signs, the same degrees of the same signs, because that's an expression of the moment of time. So the planets will be in the same aspectual relationships to one another, but where they are in the houses will change. Like there is only one place where the ascendant and the midheaven are what they are right here, and it is right here, right? So your chart looks different, or I should say it like this. Your birth moment looks different where you were born and any other place on earth. And relocating your chart to other places can help us understand how that place is going to embrace you, or maybe spit you out, or whatever it might be. You know, what kind of initiations you might have in this place? Is it a place where you are likely to find your marital partner? Is it a place where you're likely to divorce? Is it a place where you're likely to have children or find success in career? These kinds of themes. Now, thanks to the evolving technology of computer realms, modern inventions have brought us to astrocartography maps, much of that thanks to the great efforts of Jim Lewis. And this is in like 1970s. And then Michael Erlewine brought local space astrology, which is a totally different thing, also in that decade. So I'll tell you what those techniques are, how we can use them. And I will say that that local space technique probably reaches all the way back literally to the Great Pyramid of Giza, Göbekli Tepe, Stonehenge, Chichen Itza, Machu Picchu, places like this, which have strong star alignments. That's still happening. Like a lot of my own work has been in observing and exploring the Washington, D.C. map, which is definitely a star map. It's fascinating. And astrocartography really reaches all the way back into the heart of astrology, because basically what it's suggesting, and actually I would say demonstrating, is a truth that we've known in astrology for a long time, is that planets which are rising, like at the ascendant, or reaching up at the midheaven, or resting at the descendant, or rooting down below the ground at the IC, planets that are at the angles are superpowered, can like take over a whole chart. And what astrocartography maps offer is the opportunity to kind of quickly see on the earth for your birth moment or the moment of your business or the moment of your coming travel or something like that, where planets will be angular and offer these different power paths. So, I mean, the last thing I'll say in the history, and there's so much more to say about it. Well, local space can also help us do like temple building, temple alignment. I mean, even like my office here has altars for different planets based upon my birth moment. And in a sense, there's a little bit of a feng shui or vastu, which is a Vedic tradition, the latter Jyotish tradition used by many Jyotish astrologers who you may know as Vedic astrologers. And so that's kind of aligning to the directions, aligning to the energies, right? Local space lets us do this with a birth chart and with planets where they are in a moment in a really cool, unique, and really groundbreaking way. And if we go way back, I mean, you'll see like even in Ptolemy, different countries around, you know, ancient Greece that were associated with different signs. But that one seems to be a little bit more energetically or what we would these days call archetypally based. Like it's not as deeply related to the directional zodiac, which the tropical zodiac is. Though we do also see in ancient times many nations and cities that were established with like a 12-fold geometry. There's a wonderful text by the great John Michel called 12 Tribe Nations, where he's exploring how many different sacred cities throughout time have been intentionally, it would seem, designed to align to like a 12 sign zodiac or 12 slice pie of a compass rose. So there you go for a lot of information to start. And it unfolds much more beautifully and understandably when we explore this in charts and maps.
Yeah. So essentially you're saying that any of us could look at our birth chart, map it to specific areas on the planet, and be able to have an indicator of things like, is this a place where my career would be strong? Is this a place where I might meet the love of my life or get divorced or have children or whatever, all these big life events, that there are places on the planet that actually are somewhat predictive of that. If we actually relocate ourselves, our chart into that space.
Yeah. And so that is working with relocated charts. And of course you have to be able to read a chart and how many ways are there to read a chart, right? So who gets to say how Hawaii is going to behave for you? It's very much based upon astrology. I'll just say, and we'll get back to this, that like the lunar nodes and Pluto kind of point to both New York where you've lived and to Hawaii when you were born from your birthplace in the Bay Area of California. And like I understand that you came to astrology through Natasha Alter, right, who is an evolutionary astrologer, and they're all about the nodes and Pluto. And seriously, like those lines get really close to the Big Island of Hawaii where you met Natasha and had your first reading, right? Mm. And that's like that kind of thing. It just doesn't even surprise me anymore. Like I expect it. There's a thing I should say here, which is you cannot do any of these techniques without a good birth time. However, that means that if it's real, and I have seen again and again and again and again that it is, that if you do not know your birth time, and if you've journeyed around the world, and if you've had experiences in different places, and especially if you've lived in different places, that it's a tool to help us rectify a chart if we don't know a birth time to help us decode what time someone was born. Now, people usually use timing techniques alone for that. When were you married? When were you divorced? When did the children come around? When did you graduate? When did you get arrested for the 15th time? Whatever it might be, you know. And of course, astrology and time is so beautiful, and time and space are connected. When I'm looking at, Venus you know, conjoined Jupiter recently. They're conjoined in a particular place of space, and their period and their cycle together is a dance through the geometry of the heavens and all that, right? But there are kind of more, in a sense, we're often looking at a frozen moment in time, our birth chart, but looking at these different timing techniques of how like the moment now might relate to that time, right? That's a transit chart or many different ways to play. The map, like an astrocartography map or a local space map, it is also that frozen moment of time, your birth chart, but now shown on the globe. And it's saying, for example, that, let's take a really simple example, day and night, right? Half of the Earth is always in her own shadow, and it's called nighttime. And half of the Earth is always in light. And traditionally, that's a big deal. We call it sect. So if you were born by day, as you were, Amanda, then the sun is your sect light. And so your Capricorn sun becomes like a key guide for you. And it's not that it's not in Hawaii, but the moon, in a sense, takes the reins as far as what we call sect light is concerned, because in Hawaii, the sun had not yet risen in the moment of your birth. So you have literally moved from a place on Earth where it was daytime to a place on Earth where it was nighttime. And that's a big deal. And I haven't found any astrologers yet. I am sure I'm not the only one. I know Jen Zart, for example, who I know has been here at Astrology Hub many times, utilizes mapping techniques. And I certainly know Jen Zart is very educated in traditional astrology. So it would not surprise me if she is also using some of the traditional ideas like sect in astrolocality too. You know, that would be oddly so old that it's very new. It's something that I'm very interested in. Some charts kind of set up better to be night charts. Or let me say some moments, some planetary alignments kind of express better at nighttime according to the old rules than they do at day. So a cool example is that for those of us born at night, Venus is said to be the principal benefic of the sect. For people born by day, it's Jupiter. These are old Hellenistic rules of astrology that were utilized like almost all the way through and kind of forgotten somehow around 1800 and now being remembered again. So you were born with Venus Kazemi, or you were born with Venus conjoined the sun. That's a big deal. So to move somewhere where it's nighttime allows Venus to be this principal benefic for you, this benefic of the sect. And because she has such a kind of a, what we call it, exalted condition through accidental dignity, astrology talk, in your chart, like it's a good idea to go to places where Venus is strong, all right? And so it's not necessarily like a quote unquote Venus line. We'll get back to what that is in Hawaii when you were born. It's not too far from one. But it is a place where it's nighttime. And according to the tradition, nighttime makes Venus even stronger than she is by day.
Okay, interesting. So question from Stephanie, and or a clarification point. What I'm hearing is move hemispheres to change a malefic sect situation. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what you just described in a way.
Right. Except these hemispheres are not like northern hemisphere to southern hemisphere.
Right.
Right. It's like, it's a different, it's because that's like a time zone situation.
Yeah. You're talking about like a time zone difference.
Exactly. It's about moving across the terminator, which is the astronomical term for the shadow line on both sides, right? The sunrise and the sunset line. So like on an astrocartography map, right? And the softwares these days let us push a button. And they have them at astro.com and astro-seek.com, which is a place I play often. And there's a lot of places where you can cast a astrocartography map for free. You can see where the sun was rising in the moment of your birth, which will look like a curve across a flat map, but it's actually like a hemisphere around the globe, right? And the other side of that hemisphere is where the sun was setting. And so you can see in between those two where it was day and where it was night. So there's like about as simple as you can get. Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? If you believe in the traditional astrology philosophy of sect and the rules, then you're going to find that the moment of your birth might express more easily, more even more powerfully by day than it does by night. Okay, so let's like go from that, you know, one or the other situation and now get into the 12. Your rising sign. I mean, traditionally the ascendant is the horoscope. So these days people think that's a newspaper column. People have used that term for the whole chart for a long, long time. Hmm. But horoscopos means the hour marker. It means, or the hour watcher. It's the ascendant. And specifically, it's the ascendant degree, right? So when you were born shortly after sunrise in January in Walnut Creek, right? The sun is in Capricorn. Call that January. And in your case, January 19th, anyway, late Capricorn. Venus is right there. And after sunrise, Capricorn had already risen and now Aquarius is rising. Yeah. So the hour marker, and to use old terminology, then the lord of your hour marker is Saturn. Mm-hmm. Because traditionally, Saturn is said to keep homes in both the signs of Capricorn and Aquarius. Traditionally, yeah? And so that's like a lifetime thing. And by the way, you can move as much as you'd like, and you're going to bring your like birthplace with you. You're going to bring your birth chart with you. I think you and I can both agree we were born not only at a time, but in a place for a reason, and probably two specific parents and siblings and things like that for a reason. And this is, you know, all about incarnation and coming to a place like this with the appearance of time and space where we can grow, right? Which is optional because it requires healing, right? So, but healing comes first from feeling, completely optional, and actually not promoted by our crazy culture, right? Feeling opens healings, opens knowings, opens growings. And if you're in a place where you can't feel, right, like abusive place or something like that, traumatic place, or just locked down, then there's probably places on the globe where that can heart can get ripped open for you. And while that might not be a place that you want to live long term, sometimes it's good to go to a space just to get initiated. And the maps might say, hey, come here. All right, so I imagine, Amanda, that you in your life, having come to the hula tradition and to the spiritual traditions of Hawaii, have been at the top of a sacred mountain and chanting for the sun to rise, yes?
Oh, yes. One of my favorite things to do.
Do you want to say more about what that is? Because I'm sure many people listening haven't heard about this practice.
I mean, the idea is that the Hawaiians would chant for the sunrise. And people sometimes assume, oh, well, that's dumb. So they thought if they didn't sing it, if they didn't chant it up, that it wouldn't rise. It's like, no, they knew it would rise. But it's both the physical sunrise. It's a greeting of the day. But it's also the light rising within you. Mm. So it's the acknowledgement of a new beginning at the beginning, you know, when the sun's rising, and that light that's rising within you and giving you this new fresh start, this new fresh day. So it's very much an acknowledgement of that moment of like rebirth.
And there's a particular, like really ancient and traditional spiritual chant that is also a beautiful song to listen to. I mean, this is how it is in Hawaii, right? Like a lot of the way that the spiritual tradition is communicated is through dance, through song, or ole, these chants, right? So let's just like check in for a second. If I said dance and asked you to pick one planet to represent dance, who are you going with?
Venus.
Okay, Venus. What about chant and song, voice?
I mean, Mercury or Jupiter?
I go Mercury there, right? So speech. Mm-hmm. And what about like in signs? What about tradition?
Capricorn.
Okay. So you happen to have in your own chart, Capricorn, Venus, and Mercury.
Right.
Now Venus is aligned with the sun. Mercury, and therefore, by the way, completely not visible. That's a very important truth of when planets get close to the light. Really, when you were born, Venus was behind the sun. We have no idea that she actually exists. Actually, we have ideas. We have math. These days, we have computer buttons. You know, we've seen her come back enough from being invisible that we're sure she will. There's great stories about it. But honestly, you know, there's nobody who could point to her in the sky. And so some of these things, which are also really rich in the tradition of like a planet's visibility, they've lost their juice in modern times because so many astrologers are so interested in Pluto, who you can never see with your naked eyes, for example. And while I'm not saying we shouldn't be, I'm very astronomically inclined and very much a student of the living sky. And I'm very interested in these times when Venus can't be seen or when she comes back and those kinds of things. Okay. So now Mercury was far enough from the sun, and this isn't actually, it's less common than it, well, it happens less than it doesn't. Bad English, but your Mercury was far enough from the sun that he was visible as a morning star when you were born. Okay, not where you were born, because where you were born, the sun had already risen. You've heard this thing that the 12th house is hidden things?
Yes.
So why? It's weird, because actually the sun rises from the first into the 12th, and that's where the sun becomes visible. So why would it be hidden things? Because when the sun rises to illuminate the earth, it hides the heavens. So when the sun is up, all we see is the one big star, right? But if you were born somewhere at night and somewhere where it was about to be sunrise, because Mercury can never get too far from the sun, then you would actually be able to see Mercury in the sky rising in the east. So the folks who are up on Haleakala or Mauna Kea or on, you know, sea level in Hawaii chanting to the sun on the day of your birth, and you know that was happening because it happens every day, right? We're actually looking at Mercury in the east, right? And chanting, and then the sun rose. And many of them, I'm sure, would have also known that this was this great day that happens every 19 months when Venus is aligned right behind the sun, right? Kazemi. So when I'm looking at Capricorn in tradition, right? And I'm looking at voice, and like strong voice can be Capricorn Mercury. I mean, we can see that in many places. And I'm looking at beauty, and this beautiful song in your chart, right? It's really there. And Hawaii is a place where it's totally happening. Not only that, but the midpoint of where Mercury and Venus are in your chart, because they're 22 degrees apart from one another, right? So if I go 11 degrees in between, that's called the midpoint, right? Where we can see a place where those energies come together. So think about like the beautiful voice, for example. A beautiful expression, or the study of tradition through its dance. Mm. This has all been part of your life, and it's all been part of your life, I think, more than other places in Hawaii, where it's deeply rooted in the tradition, as predicted by your relocated chart, where you in Hawaii, which is a little bit later in time as far as the earth spins than California, where you were born, Aquarius was not rising yet, Capricorn was rising. And specifically Mercury in the moment of your birth had risen, but the sun and Venus were about to rise. And that's when, you know, I've been on some of these journeys up to Haleakala, to the house of the sun, the great volcano on Maui, whose body you dwell upon, right? And I've been up there in the morning to see sunrise, to see the stars before then. And I watch, you know, people come up with this, with the sacred in their heart. And tuning into the darkness in the east, like well before sunrise. And the chant begins even before you see the light. And the chant beautifully does not end until the sun has completely ascended and you can see the whole disc. And sometimes even longer than that, right? So you were literally born at this time. While in California, the sun had risen, which itself is a wonderful thing, especially in January when we need that light. But in Hawaii, it was this time where folks were gathering. It's a little less cold in the tropics and ready to chant the sun up. Yeah. And so when I see that in a chart, if somebody had not yet experienced that and they're looking for a place to go, maybe even travel to or visit, you know, when you go to Hawaii, and make sure you go up to the mountain before sunrise, sit and listen and like observe the tradition expressed through beauty, because this is going to remind you who you are.
Fascinating. I mean, Brett, a couple examples. I think that this illustrates what you're saying. So I have always danced my whole life, even in California and even in New York a little bit, but only when I came to Hawaii did my dance become more visible, meaning it, first of all, it felt like it fit me for the first time. In California, when I would dance, it never felt quite right. Like I did ballet, I did jazz, but like I didn't have the right body for any of those dances. And so I never felt like I could really express it or really shine in those ways. It wasn't until I moved to Hawaii and found hula that it was like, oh, okay, I can actually express this. I can actually do this. And that was the first time I'd had that experience. I'd always loved dancing, but I couldn't shine in it until I came to Hawaii. So does that kind of, from what I'm hearing, that sounds like an illustration of what you're saying.
Absolutely. And so there's going to be places on earth when these powers can be unlocked if we're willing and ready. Mm-hmm. But that "and ready" also has to do with time and maybe completely foretold in the moment of your birth, or maybe there's enough free will that you have to choose to dance to the song of your soul to, you know, unwrap these gifts that are waiting for you in a specific time, in a specific place. Right. So like when you move to Hawaii, is that indicated? Now, there's a lot more in Hawaii than just the beauty of chant. And I want to ask, though, Amanda, do you consider yourself a musician?
Oh, you're kind of blowing my mind, because Brett, recently, like within the last, no, I do not consider myself a musician. However, within the last, I think it was right around my birthday, this thing came in that was like, must make music. I literally just signed up for something called the Songwriter's Journey.
Nice.
Because I want to sing and I want to make music, but I have no idea how to do that.
And where is the Songwriter's Journey headquartered? Do you know? Is it
they're
something that's in
California,
Hawaii?
I believe. They, okay. But both the men look like Vikings to me. They're brothers who lead it, and they look like Vikings. So I don't know exactly where they're from, but they're in Ojai, California.
Okay.
And so it's coming strong. I even put it on my treasure map. It's like, make music. And I just have never thought of myself that way, though.
So we don't have too much time, so I'm not going to do it right now. But whereas if this was a session, we would go look at your maps in Ojai. And I could look at the map not only for when you were born, by the way, but we can progress charts through time with our different timing techniques. We can progress maps, too. So Jim Lewis, who coined this term astrocartography, also had a term called cyclocartography, where he's looking at transits on the map and progressions on the map, for example. I have found that that's real, by the way. So if somebody's asking me where should they move, I'm kind of, well, let me just stop there. I first say, okay, what are you moving towards? And what are you moving away from? Because the most important planet is Earth. And also, you know, sunrise line or not, Hawaii's warmer than California and a lot warmer than England. And that's going to be true no matter when you were born. You know what I mean? So there are certain things where we want to tune in first, probably to climate, you know, the culture, politics, if that's your trip, whatever. And that's all, you know, honoring Earth first. What are you moving towards? What are you moving away from? There might be a place where career is rocking for you. Do you want to move there when you're retiring? No, you want to move away from there. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to be less on call. You want to be less seen in these kinds of themes, right? And then I try to really get some more information about where somebody's willing to move. So I hear this all the time, anywhere. And I'm like, oh, cool. Check out this, like this happening in Denmark is amazing. Oh, no, no, no. They have to speak English. Okay.
Right.
Well, look at this amazing thing in Memphis. Oh, no, no. It's got to be at the ocean. It's like, well, if we started with that, right? Like limit my investigation to the point where we could do a lot more with our time. So, you know, really learning how to ask the questions is a huge part of the art of counseling in general. It's very important in astrology, and it's really, really important in this kind of astrolocality space. So a pro tip for anyone who's starting to counsel with maps. So I would consider you a musician. I was about to say magician because I consider you a magician too. But I've heard you with the shaker, you know, chanting. I've seen you play shaker while the girls are dancing hula. And by that, I mean your daughters, for anyone who does not know, you know, and I'm like, dang, like Amanda's like a very powerful musician. And in ways I see that indicated in your nativity. All right. So your Capricorn sun is in what's called mutual reception with Saturn in Leo. The general idea is they're on a foreign exchange program. Saturn staying in the sun's house that we call Leo, and the sun is staying in Saturn's house called Capricorn, which is a cool connection for those two planets, because those two signs of Leo and Capricorn are said to be blind to one another in the tradition. And this reception in your chart actually links them, but I would say not in a visible way, more in a psychic way. And it's kind of tricky to, like, Leo sun, it's easy to just, you know, have that confidence of I am an artist. Leo Saturn, it's easy to not have that confidence, right? And so in places where we find Saturn's houses of Aquarius or Capricorn rising in the moment of your birth with Saturn and Leo, we want that creative thing, right? But with Saturn, we want to do this more slowly. We want to honor tradition. We want to have system, right? So to have Capricorn and Leo combine to unfold, and some of the ways that I've seen you initiated as a musician is through tradition. That's, you know, Saturn, Capricorn. But now Ojai, where like your birthplace in Walnut Creek is Aquarius rising. And that Leo Saturn comes down to the seventh, right? And so more of that kind of like coming out and sharing that music with others is probably going to be the thing. So I love that, that's that place where this songwriting journey is related. And also that these guys are Vikings, because that's a different tradition, you know?
They seem like Vikings. I just totally projected that on them. I have no idea if they actually...
Of course they're Vikings. You know, and that's super Saturnian and cold and that kind of thing also. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I dig that. Like your chart, of course, you were born where you were meant to be born. And that birth chart is something that I'm always going to look at as I'm relocated. I'm always referencing back to the birth chart, right? And so to be able to connect back to home, like you don't have to move home, but if you, you know, study with people that are here, you are here. And that's a really important thing about astrocartography too. I talk to people, or I should say astrolocality, because there's many techniques. Well, I just haven't been around the planet too much. Well, you haven't, you're married to a German, right? So let's look at that. Oh, there it is. Right, like you will often find that these power places send their messengers to you, that you don't have to necessarily go there.
Amazing.
For good or for bad, I should say.
Right. So people can look at the different connections they have with countries or places through the people they know and through the people that they're close with. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd say do it in your own chart, you know, I mean, which I always lead there, by the way. Oftentimes people are coming in relationship crisis and pushing their partner's chart at me. And I'm like, no. Like, let's look at your chart. I'm not saying it's your fault, but I'm saying we're going to see it in your chart. Like, I might get more information about them and their particular branch of psychosis by looking at theirs. But, you know, this unfoldment for you, this heartbreak for you, like that's in your chart. And your connection to a partner, that's in your chart, you know, and that's in your chart in time and in your chart in space, which is this really intriguing thing. I just this morning, I gave a talk to a group in Brighton, UK, and I have no jet lag because I did it virtually. But I have been there one time, and I went there on a solar return, right? So think sun. And in my birth moment, the sun was at the IC there. In other words, it was midnight. It was the middle of the night there, halfway between sunrise and sunset. So now this is a place where you can find energy, light, you know, like spirit in the land, in the ground, right? And I went to Stonehenge and Avebury, which has been on the list for a long time, and did. But I was also like crazy, weird, in love. And ended up like having all these like jealousy issues. Like my light could not be seen. You know what I mean? It was like down buried below the ground.
Wow.
And it was this crazy, like I'm a Scorpio sun, right? And it was this very transformational time of my life. We went and saw Guy Fawkes Day. Do you know about that?
No.
Yeah, as a Catholic, as one who was growing up Catholic, it would be a nightmare for you because they're burning effigies of the Pope. Yeah, everybody look up Guy Fawkes Day and remember the 5th of November. I don't need to take our time here with that story. But it's a trippy thing. And cats are dressed up in like, well, I guess what we would call here like colonial period wear. And there's like all of these fireworks. I mean, thank God it was a time when I still did drugs, because it was like, sorry, parents. It was like the wildest thing to observe. It was like scary and amazing. And that time there actually, and you can see this in my timings, but you can see how that like space on Earth was like this acupuncture pin for me to be in, to experience what really led to like this kind of jealousy, heartbreak that led to, oh, plant medicine, that led to my sobriety. I've been sober 10 years now, right? And it really changed my life in such a dynamic way. And that's a very simple, simple thing to suggest, like, oh, the timing techniques, like I was solar return, it was my birthday, and I went to a sun line. But I went to the where the sun is least visible. And sometimes you want that. And that time I certainly didn't. But what I want in matter is probably different what my spirit wants, right?
Wow.
What the spirit wants to grow. And that was a time where I really got kind of catapulted into new growth. So wow. It was trippy to give this talk for them today because the eclipse that just happened and some happenings from back then, which was 2011, are completely aligned in the timing techniques. And they both kind of point to the UK. So we'll see those opportunities too. We know Mercury's retrograde right now. We can take that meander down memory lane. This is also true of eclipse portals. They open opportunity to really claim new light out of shadow, which requires some past time travel, I think. And so for me to see like the timings right now connect me to this space where I have this story, right? It's like, oh, wow, look at how far I've come. I'm sober now. Right. Like I have a really wonderful kind of grounded partnership, et cetera. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it can be helpful, right, for the timing and the space things to help us like put our hands on our heart and know that we're growing.
Mm. So much of what you're saying about being able to sort of look backwards is really resonating. We have a team member who never knew her father. And so astrology really helps her because you can see her father in her chart, right? That's the point that you're making is like, you can actually see your parents and your spouse and in your chart. You don't actually need their chart. So she, one of the gifts that astrology has brought to her is being able to connect with her father, who she never knew and knows nothing about, through her own chart. And what you were bringing up before about rectification, you know, so many people don't know their birth time. So this technique actually helps you look backwards with the breadcrumb trails of all the different places you've been. And that can help you actually pinpoint your birth time even more.
Totally.
So I can see this both as a way to look into the future if you're deciding where you want to go or what countries you may want to invoke on your altar, even if you're not going to go there, or, you know, things like that. Or you can use it as a tool to look backwards and piece things together and sort of what I'm hearing with your UK experience is kind of tie the storyline up with a bow, you know, and kind of understand that full circle moment of like, wow, that's where I was. That's what I was exploring. Now I'm here and things are different and I've really grown. I've really learned, but it's all the same theme. You know, it's all the same content, just in different costumes and at different times and different space.
Yep. And like sun at the IC, which is my line there, can often be a place where you have genealogical root, moon as well, nodes. So I just did I'm recording a bunch of like example map sessions to add as like bonus, I don't know, bonuses for this locality class that people can get at Astrology Hub. Because like seeing it in action and seeing the maps on the screen and seeing how we work with them. And there, you know, when I'm doing this like one-to-one in a counseling session, I take more time to listen. These are going to be me just like talking a lot with different students of mine and showing amazement on the globe. So a woman I just spoke to, like she intentionally went to a Mars rising line. So where Mars was literally rising in the east when she was born to train for a triathlon.
Wow.
And so that was a cool example, but I also showed her a thing that she hadn't seen about it. That so y'all can see in that bonus class. I'm going to put up a bunch of those because that really just seeing it practiced and then practicing it, that's how we learn these things, right?
And that's part of the astrologyhub.com/locality masterclass that we have.
Yeah, we already have some examples that happen live during those teachings, and I'm going to be adding more.
Nice.
Thank you. So I have like a bunch of students who are on the schedule over the course of the next few weeks. What we'll do is just like half hour, like travels around the world and storytelling. And I'm telling you, it blow your mind. It's the weirdest. So one thing for this woman, she is seeking dual citizenship. She is like totally global. She's lived in like 100 places. But where she is seeking citizenship, it's the son of the IC. It's like, oh, and I was like, oh, because you have like blood roots there. And she said, yeah. And I've seen that one again and again and again. And that one I haven't heard like describe like some of the different lines in astrocartography in like this Jung tradition have these like names, like so sun at the midheaven, right, where it's midday and everybody can see this light, that's known as the fame line, right? Or oh, Jupiter rising, they often call the opportunity line, right? So I have that actually in Colorado. I started a band there. Mm-hmm. Like my plan was to drop out of school and start a band and it worked really quickly, right? But I also quickly blew up in all sorts of other ways, which can sometimes be an Aries Jupiter rising kind of trip. I'm teaching, by the way, an astro locality workshop for the ESAR conference in August in Colorado, where I was born. Aries Jupiter was rising and Aries Jupiter is returning for me this year. And I'm returning to Colorado this time to do a talk and on astro locality and on perfections. And I'm in an Aries perfection year, right? So wow. Again, and I didn't even think about it. Like oftentimes when I'm invited to do a talk or especially a workshop, I'll like look at the charts at that time, probably see what's happening for me personally, like what parts of my love would like most apply cosmically. But that time I was invited a little bit late and they had an idea of what they wanted me to share. So I was like, great. And then of course I go back and see why I was invited. Was because all these things are happening, right? I mean, not that I haven't put the work in, you know, like obviously that's it too, but like all these things are aligning and it puts me there and that's the subject because it's happening there then. Yeah.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
All right. Yeah. So we're running out of time. I'm going to ask some questions.
Okay. Ask more questions. And just quick sidebar, hold the question. We will be at ESAR as well. And hopefully we'll meet many of you there. That's in Colorado at the end of August. And that's a big astrology conference. Second of all, you just mentioned perfections. Brett also has a mastery class with us on perfections. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can go to astrologyhub.com/perfections, not prefections or not perfections. It's perfections. And that's P-R-O-F-E-C-T-I-O-N-S. And that is another fascinating tool. I mean, the thing with astrology, Brett, is just like, are you serious? I mean, the more you learn, the more there is to learn and the more your mind is blown. So from the beginning, you were like, oh my God, this is amazing. Just expect that that sensation of, oh my God, this is amazing will continue for a very long time. If anything, like talking to people like Michael Erlewine, who's been doing this for, I don't know, like 60 years, maybe 70, he's still doing that. He's still on fire to talk about it. Okay, so that was a troll sidebar. What other questions? No,
but it's a great one. And let's talk about Michael Erlewine. I'm glad his name came back in. Yeah, he's an elder, an innovator. You know,
he's had him on the show several times.
He's so great.
Interviews. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm just absolutely in agreement. Like you will never learn all of astrology. If you want to be reminded of that, like lay on your back under a dark sky and try to name every star. Like it's never going to happen. And our craft is like that. And it's one of the things that most excites me about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So local space astrology and astrocartography are two very different techniques that we can map. Okay, so an older approach is a relocated chart. So again, like in the same moment of your first breath, where Aquarius was rising in California, Capricorn was rising in Hawaii, right? Taurus was rising in New York. So just in relocated map, especially with the strength of Venus in your chart, I would expect it's very strong for you in New York. And I would expect you called to like a different kind of the Venusian thing. Because now Venus is the steersman. That's another wonderful name for the, I don't like this term, but ruler of the horoscopos, of the ascendant. The sun in a Taurus rising chart is in the ninth whole sign. If it is in Capricorn, the sun is said to rejoice in the ninth I share some of these old Hellenistic keys also in both of these classes, in the Perfections class and the Locality class. So this is a place where that sun is going to be rocking for you. It's both in the 10th house in a quadrant chart, like a Placidus or Porphyry chart for you in New York, and it's in the 9th whole sign. And I use both of those maps and more, right? So the sun is rejoicing, and also in the 10th in Capricorn, you're going to be a workhorse.
Oh my God, I was really working 30 visible. Hours a week. Yeah. I was a total work. Like that's all, my entire life was work, and I was rocking it. I mean, it was very successful as well.
Yeah. And yet there's something about that hidden Venus right now with a Taurus. Like I understand that nutrition and fashion, like beauty was a part of your realm in New York, right? Which totally makes sense with Taurus rising.
My favorite pastime was shopping. Right, okay. Like, what are you going to do on the weekend? Well, I'm going to go to Soho or whatever. I'm going to go shopping.
So this is before the big awakening, or I prefer to say a weirdening, right? Yeah. So now that's not going to happen for everybody where Taurus is rising. Like this is part of the tradition. Taurus is rising, where Venus at, right? That's going to tell me a lot about how you will be steered towards Taurus. And actually with Venus with the sun in the 9th sign, you know, some don't like this word, but traditionally that's called the house of God. Like you're likely to have your kind of spiritual unfoldment and activation, right? And then it's like shopping Capricorn, where's my boundaries? And also there's something more. So there's something old about New York as far as this country goes, as far as this colonial side of this country goes, right? But there's something older. There's something missing in that tradition. You know, and when we look at the local space line, so let me describe what those are. I love seeing how they brought you to specifically to Big Island, to Pahoa, and then how you went from there to Maui. And, you know, also, you know, an interesting thing for you, for example, you know, where is your partner from? So you met him in Hawaii, but where was he born, etc. But also like, you know, you have a lot of amazing team members and they're all over the globe, mm-hmm. right? So how are you connecting into Seattle where one lives, or Tennessee, mm-hmm. or, you know, mm. all like that reach is amazing, right? So you are very connected to Anna as well, right? So how are you reaching into Romania? Or you received astrology first from Natasha. How are you connecting into St. Petersburg where she was born? Mm-hmm. Even if that's not where you met her, do you see how that works? And yeah. These things are amazing. And you can cast like a St. Petersburg relocation for your nativity. You can perfect that chart or progress that chart or direct that chart or look at like the transits to the sun of that chart are going to be the same as everywhere else because the sun's Capricorn in the moment of your birth. That's the moment of your birth. But which house is it in? And in the tradition, there are a lot of timing techniques like in the Hellenistic tradition, really like all the way through, like profections or maybe vaster than that, like circumambulations, it's called, or primary directions, which define these like longer periods of life. And I will often see someone moves to a place when they're in a period of a planet who is like super powered in that space, or I'm going to use this term, though I'm not saying it's physically accurate, but like gravitationally pulling you towards that place in the moment of your birth. Mm. Okay, so this is local space. It's a very different trip. When I said at the very beginning here that Venus is connecting the Bay and Hawaii right now, it's not anymore. Okay, but when we started, if I could see through the beams of the sun and find Venus and Aries, or use my astronomical know-how, which is vast, to know exactly where Venus was. And I like aimed my heart towards Venus, which is always a good idea. I would be facing Mount Tamalpais out my window, and I would be facing much further away beyond the limits of my human sight, you in Maui. Right? So Maui is always in that direction. Venus is in that direction once a day. Huh. This is local space. Like if you, can you see where the sun is right now?
Ooh, it's a little cloudy. So not okay. Really. Yeah.
Anyway, if you and I both gave our heart to the sun in this moment, also always a good idea, but close your eyes. We would be facing the exact same place on Earth where the sun is directly overhead. Actually, those of the Islamic faith have long used this as an opportunity for them to know for sure where Mecca is, because you're meant to face Mecca when you pray. And there are 2 days, there are 2 moments each year when the sun is directly above Mecca. And so anywhere where it's daytime, and by the way, that stops like at Boston, right? So most of the United States can't calibrate this way, but most of, well, all of Africa, all of Asia, for example, on these 2 moments when the sun is directly above Mecca, wherever they are, they can just face the sun and they're literally facing Mecca. And they don't have to rely on some magnetic compass anymore. They have the exact direction from the light, you know, of where their space is. Mm-hmm. So there's this amazing image, and this is what Michael Erlewine called local space, of, he called it very vulgar astrology, which he didn't even say offensive. He just said, it's so simple, it's like ridiculous. We call this like a moon line, right? So at the other night, I'm watching the blood moon, right? And the moon is literally like, I'm facing it, and I'm facing wherever on Earth it is directly overhead. And I can draw a great circle around the Earth, which cuts the globe in half, which we call the moon direction line. And so you go close to it and you're going to get moon stuff. Now, if you click the little buttons on the softwares, what's that going to say? Nurturing, feels like home, family. And this is one issue that I have with a lot of astrologers who are working with the astro maps. Can't blame the software. What are you going to do? But it's different for me and you. We have Gemini moons, right? So you go to that moon line, and you know, there are places on Earth where you will or have. I mean, moon was pretty close to the IC when you were born. I have that in California, though. I was born in Boston, and it does feel like home to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just like rooted. Like I live on a pile of books, like and more books. You know, it's like that kind of Gemini moon, that comfort and like the learning and stuff, right? So a pro tip, when you go to the maps, bring your chart with you. Bring your astrological knowledge with you. Mm. So sun fame line, is it really the fame line if the sun is in a Libra or Pisces as much as it would be if the sun is in Leo or Aries? Right?
So don't let the map, don't let the software say, okay, this is your fame line or whatever. If that conflicts with your astrological knowledge about that planet in that house, in that sign.
Yeah. Like bring your astrology. Yeah. And if your astrology is different than the people who wrote the software, bring your astrology. Right. And if what you're reading in this software or receiving from a counselor or something is different than your astrology, learn their astrology if it's right, you know what I mean? And keep on learning. So Amanda, if I held you up to Jupiter when you were born, I'd actually have to hold you down to Jupiter because Jupiter was underground, okay, in the north. It was in the northwest when you were born, but my astronomical know-how is vast. And so if I time machine back, I could do this. And if I held you in that direction on Earth, I would be holding you actually north, but if we continued walking that line all the way around the globe, we would get to Santa Barbara where you went to college. Mm. And you went to college when you were in a Jupiter, what's called direction. Okay. So I'm not going to explain primary directions here. It's another class I'd love to teach, but they're this closest thing we have in Hellenistic astrology to the Vedic Dasha periods, like long planetary periods. Okay. So basically, you went on your Jupiter line to study when you were in a Jupiter period. Then you ended that Jupiter period, you went to a Mercury period. And if you were born in Santa Barbara and I held you up to Mercury, then I would be holding you towards San Francisco where you went for your master's degree, like at that time in your life, right? Venus comes onto the scene when you moved to New York. Right now, first of all, you get married, which many consider a Venusian thing. Sometimes, well, there's lots of planets that get involved, right? But you move to a place where Venus's sign of Taurus was rising, okay? And then you move to Hawaii, and we don't have time to talk about all the timings right now, But I'll just say you went like actually from Walnut Creek when you were born, the nodes in Pluto, whose directions are together, they lead both to New York. They're north of New York. They're up through Maine, right? And so there's always the question of how close, and that's something I address in the classes. But if you go in the other direction, they go to Hawaii. And specifically like Big Island, which is so plutonic and nodal, like deep soul and exploding volcano and the whole trip, especially where you lived in Pahoa, which is like the volcano, right? Yes. And I'm not at all amazed that how you were first turned on to astrology there was in evolutionary astrology, which is rather nodal and Pluto based, okay? Had you been born in Pahoa, in that moment, if I could hold you towards the moon, who was below the ground in the northwest, I would be holding you towards Maui. And specifically to Ulupalakula, where you moved on Maui, like literally right there. Like we could probably look at your house and I bet you it's right there. Like that's how much I now have faith in these techniques because I see the express again and again and again. And you moved to a place where, well, you have to take a little bit of a drive from there, but to see Halemahina, right? Like the house of the moon, right? You lived on the house of the sun where you have the view of the house of the moon. And like Hina, who's moon, some would say in Hawaii, like literally brought you from Pahoa and Big Island to Maui, right? And so those places are so close to one another that the relocated charts don't change so much. They both have Capricorn rising, but then we can get like really detailed. So your Mercury Venus midpoint I mentioned before, it's at the ascendant more in Pahoa than it is in Maui, but they're both, it's so close, right? However, in Maui, I really like the career lines and it's been an amazing place for career for you, of course. In your relocated chart in Maui, it's Libra and the last degrees of Libra at the midheaven where we often look for career and vocation and honors and these kinds of things, right? You have Venus, who's said to be the queen of that house called Libra, in this powerful Kazemi when you're born. She also aligns to that aspect by a square. So you hear square in astrology and like, oh no, but squares activate, you know, and they bring it out of you. She wants you to like rise into your beauty and let it be seen in a new way, but in a more Capricornian way, because that's where Venus existed when you were born. You also have Jupiter in Gemini trining your relocated ascendant in Hawaii. So this kind of, and that retrograde Jupiter, I always say it's old, right? So like I'm going back to old traditions of learning speech. Your Jupiter's in a really powerful place of the sky and on and on and on, right? But these are things that I would expect to support you if you're ready for them, or call them out of you if you're not when you're in Hawaii.
Amazingly enough, I don't know, these vision boards or treasure maps actually show a lot, especially when you look at old ones. But I did this soul mapping thing very early in my time on Maui. And I put this big visual of that Venus, Aphrodite coming out of the sea. On the shell, right? On the shell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the words I put above it was becoming Venus. So and like as you're speaking, it's like, this is hilarious. And the reason why Maui was so different for me from Big Island, the main thing was career. The main thing was I couldn't get my career going on the Big Island, but moving to Maui definitely changed that. So yeah,
it's intriguing. So these signatures I'm talking about, they exist in Pahoa too, just not to this level. But actually in Pahoa, it's the sun squares your relocated midheaven and Saturn is more aligned to your relocated midheaven. I mean, they're so close. They're so close to one another, right? These two places, right? But where you are now, it's Venus and Jupiter. Yeah. And that's kind of green light astrology, yeah. Right? So yeah. My final question for you, because we're past time, I know. Shocker when I'm on the mic, is this Tibet ? Because I'm very intrigued by Tibet in the moment of your birth. And I wonder if any of its mysteries have found their way to you yet in life.
Wow. I mean, maybe in ways that I'm unaware of. That's kind of what I feel. And I have felt called. Actually, Natasha would be the biggest link I've ever had to Tibet, because she actually has explored a lot of their mysteries and brought things to me. But I haven't actually gone, and I don't have plans to go, but that's interesting.
Jupiter was right at the midheaven in like Kathmandu when you were born. But one of the reasons why I started looking around is I'm so like traditionally inclined now. I mean, I many, many, many forms of the cosmic kung fu, old and new. But I'm like loving some of the traditional techniques, and they just are so literal and can be so real. So I'm interested in where Venus, who's Kazemi when you were born, I'm interested in Taurus rising places like New York. I'm also interested in Libra rising places. But I'm also interested in Virgo rising places. And the reason why is when Virgo's rising in the whole sign map, this places Capricorn on the fifth. And traditionally, Venus is said to rejoice in the fifth, which is like a weird thing for the modern astrologer to hear, because they're like, oh, the fifth is Leo, is the sun. Well, the fifth is below ground. And when the sun is there, it's nighttime. And why would the sun want that?
Right.
Okay. So traditionally, the sun is set to rejoice in the ninth, which is midday. And you have that in New York. Whereas Venus is said to rejoice in the fifth. It's passion and romance and risk. And that happens after the sun goes down, y'all. And so this is a place where that Kazemi Venus for you. And it's not alone, but it's like a Virgo rising. There's something about the sacred there. There's this fifth place of Mercury, Venus. And I wonder, just given that we already kind of explored one of their powers for you in this like singing and chanting and beauty and dancing, I'm wondering if there's something for you also in kind of like the sacred movement or the sacred chant or instruments that come from those places of the world. But when I see Jupiter on high also, it feels like, especially with Jupiter in Gemini when you were born, like a place of learning, and maybe even to use the, you know, the Jyotish astrologer's term for Jupiter, like guru from there. So a place to explore. Not telling you to move there, but let more of it move into you.
Fascinating. Oh my gosh. So there's people wondering how to get like astro locality readings with you, which I know you do, right? So where would they go to?
For sure. Or otherwise, GeminiBrett.com. Brett with two T's, twin T's.
GeminiBrett.com. Yeah.
Readings. And at some point soon, maybe a little bit closer to home, but I'll let you share those kinds of news when the time comes. If you want to learn some of these techniques in this like very thorough download that I gave for Astrology Hub, check out astrologyhub.com/locality.
Yes.
And astrologyhub.com/perfections. In both of those classes, I cannot resist teaching astronomy for astrologers because I'm a nut for it. And they're really critical to the space-based things, which is one of the reasons why I was really called to the maps, because it is so astronomically inclined. And a lot of our tradition, like perfections, directions, have a lot of astronomy in them that's kind of been forgotten. So I love sharing that. And I have to teach some of that foundational material to really get to it. So again, neither of these classes are necessarily for like the very beginner. You'd still get something. But if you've been at it for a bit, check them out and then come back to them. And I hope like a good book, they will have something new every time you get down. And I will be adding more of these example charts. And if you want my big class, it's the Astronomy for Astrologers class that I did for Astrology Hub last summer.
That's astrologyhub.com/astronomy. And I know what Brett was alluding to, which is very exciting, and I've barely talked about it. But what it's going to enable is for you to get Brett live in the moment and ask him a question very affordably. So we are launching a new service within the next, I don't know, couple months. I'm not going to give you a timeline. Lots of retrogrades happening, so I'm not going to give you a timeline, but we're working on it very actively. It's going to enable you to go to our website, choose an astrologer, and either get basically like an on-demand reading, like a live on-demand reading, or book a reading with them. So we're consolidating this and making it very easy for you to find some of your favorites that you hear on the show. and to access them for readings. And to do that, again, you could just come on with a quick question like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to this place. Tell me is what you see in my chart for that place. Or if you have more extensive things, you can always book a reading. You can book 60 minutes or you can, but again, it's going to make it easier for you to, like, in the flow of your day, be like, I wonder what an astrologer would say about this.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, I just met someone, like, is this a significant person that I just met? I'd love to hear what an astrologer has to say. And this is one of the things that I actually got to experience in the beginning of my love affair with astrology, because Natasha and I became friends. So Natasha was the woman who did my first reading. We became friends. And so as my life was basically falling apart in every way that you can imagine.
Pluto line.
Exactly. I would call Natasha and I'd be like, hey, Natasha, what's going on? Like, this is happening now. What do you see in my chart? What's happening? So I had this kind of like astrologer on speed dial experience. And it was so powerful for me. I mean, it made me realize how incredible astrology is as a tool. And it also just gave me that peace of mind that I could get answers like easily. So that's why we're creating this thing. It's called Astrologer Connect. We're actively building out the technology and all the infrastructure we need so that when you get access to it, it's very easy for you to use. So that's coming. And Brett is going to be one of the astrologers on Astrologer Connect, even when we launch, which we're going to launch like kind of small and then grow it. But Brett is going to be on the lines, ready to take your calls. Cameron Allen, Jamie McGee, Joe, who is one of our amazing electional astrologers. Again, great for those quick questions where you're like, hey, I lost my keys. Can you help me find them? And amazingly, astrology can. I mean, it's like, it's incredible. And that's part of what we're doing here is helping you understand all the different ways that astrology can help you, which is vast. And different astrologers specialize in different aspects of it, right?
Yeah. One of the things that I love about that is booking sessions with your amazing community is something I've done for a long time, and doing that through Astrology Hub will be wonderful, and the opportunity to connect to more of this Ohana, more of this circle. But I love the idea of like, I can just turn my green light on like an Uber driver, like in the map play. You imagine that? Like when you and I started to talk about like astrolocality and my love for the maps today, literally Venus was like pulling me towards you and Maui and you and Maui towards me, right? You know how much I'm going to see that when I turn the green light on? And in that moment, like I already see it when people schedule out a month or whatever, in the moment that we connect, it's there. You know, but when like the green light's on and suddenly I'm just in the room with somebody and like, where are you? Oh, Slovakia. Oh, interesting. Jupiter's there right now. And I actually get, we do this in astrology, not only with the natal chart, but like the chart of the moment we start the reading has information for us. And so does the map. And I've just found so much, so much there. So I know we're out of time. I just want to address really quickly two questions I saw come in. One said, what if you're a Leo sun born at night? I'm going to assume Northern Hemisphere. That's a beautiful balance because you're born in the middle of the summer by year, but in the middle of the winter by day, which is what nighttime is. However, you might find places where that Leo sun was rising or even at the midheaven when you were born there on Earth, and see if there's something there for you, or I imagine there's an audience for your work and your creativity in those places. There's another one, I think, just really importantly, and holding this in my heart, because we know how this one feels, which is I'm completely lost and repeating some mistakes. And I just want to say, if you are aware that you are repeating mistakes, you are not lost. Do you know what I'm saying? Like last time, you probably weren't as aware. And it's the awareness that we earn, then we choose to act upon the wisdom that we've claimed to, and then it looks very different on the other side. Yeah. And so we are all finding our way through thinking we are lost.
So, I love it. Very nice. Thomas, I agree with you. He says, I know Huelo and Twin Falls is like another country from Kula, but it is truly a magical place. And yes, absolutely true. Okay. Everybody, this has been so much fun. I hope that you got to see how astrolocality in motion, how it works and how illuminating it can be and how helpful it can be as you're navigating your life. And a lot of people have moved or are looking to move. I mean, there's like the great migration that's been happening. But then, like Brett said, you don't actually have to move to a place in order to access the energy of it. I love the example you gave in the beginning about the artist who you went, hey, your art would do really well in Hawaii. And she has no desire to live here, but for her to sell stuff to this market, and she's doing really well with that. So,
and that's a Leo sun at the midheaven example, by the way, for somebody who was born at night.
Oh, how interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Okay. So this is a lot of exploration that you all can continue doing. And again, we have the locality class, we have the perfections class, and then we also have Brett's sacred astronomy class with us, which is astrologyhub.com/sacred astronomy, I believe. Joe, can you confirm that? It's either a sacred astronomy.
I think it's just astronomy.
Okay.
There it is. On the screen. Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
If you don't know my work yet, like, it's nice here to just wrap and not show a bunch of pictures. But when you see those classes, you're going to see hundreds of pretty pictures and moving things and animation.
So good at the visual.
Time into the visual to express this like visual side of our craft.
Brett is so good at bringing it to life with the visuals. So yes, I love what Sharon says. This makes me really happy, Sharon, because it's like, oh, yay, we got to introduce you to something new. Never knew anything about it. Very interesting. I love astrology. Thank you for sharing a wonderful talent. Mm-hmm. And yes, Brett, you're the breadth of your like knowledge and practice and understanding and experience is mind-blowing every single time you come on this show. So thank you for being here with us today. Not only when you come on the show, but when I get to talk to you in person or any of it, it's always like, wow, how do you know all this? It's amazing.
I'm hungry.
And you're hungry. And the fact that you share it with all of us is such a gift. So thank you for that. And thanks all of you for being here, for being sincerely curious and earnest in your astrological studies. And it just makes it so much fun to do what we do, to share with people like you who love it as well. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. Now, hopefully you'll be making astrolocality a part of your life as well, if it isn't already. And I can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you soon. Take care. This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.